Happy Friday, everyone. Thank you, first of all of you who have been supporting Into the Word financially. We can't stay on the air without that assistance. So God bless you for that. Friday, I also take some time right now to encourage you to be very active in your local body of believers. I believe and teach that everyone needs a home congregation. And they need to stay active in that home congregation as much as their physical body allows them to. We need a place where we can worship and fellowship and preach and teach and pray and learn and serve and be encouraged and encourage others to love and good deeds. That's part of being a believer. If you do not have a place like that, you need to find a place. And if you are not making the most of your place, you need to change that. You need to repent and get active in your home body of believers. If you're looking right now for a place to get plugged in, and you live within driving distance of the Elkhart East building, may I invite you to come and visit us. Check us out. See whether or not you might be able to settle in with us as your home congregation. I want you to open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28 today. We've kind of entered into the winding down portion of Moses' final address to the Israeli people. It's taking place on the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year of the Exodus. We're only a matter of weeks from Moses being dead and Joshua leading the Israelis across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. And so Moses has reminded them a little bit of their history. He has reviewed pertinent parts of the covenant that God has given to the people of Israel. Most recently, last session, we saw that Moses gave to the people a ceremony of blessing and cursing that they are going to participate in at the setting up of the marker stones at Shechem. These marker stones will be inscribed with the totality of the book of Deuteronomy at the very least. And it will be a central point to which anyone can come and read the covenant. But they will have their initial ceremony of dedication there with six tribes on Ebal, the mountain of the curse, six tribes on Gerizim to the south, the mountain of the blessing. And they will go through some of the blessings and the cursings. Now, Moses follows up to that description of that ceremony with these words. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. If you faithfully obey the voice of He who is your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I command you today, He who is your God will set you high above the goyim of the earth, the nations of the earth, the other ethnic groups. The word nation here, I remind you from time to time, has nothing to do with a government. It has everything to do with an ethnicity. An ethnic group shares a common genetic heritage and shares a language and shares near-term history and cultural traditions. And so the Israelis are different than the rest of the ethnic groups around them because their history, their culture, is all tied in with God, the creator of heaven and earth. And so God reminds them through Moses, if you will remember that, if you will keep the terms of this covenant, then you will be in that exalted relationship that is different from all the other people groups that I have relationships with. Verse 2, And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of He who is your God. So the covenant that God has with Israel is conditional. It is conditional to their obedience to the covenant. And as we described earlier, to throw out one part of the covenant is to disrupt the entirety of the covenant. Verse 3, though, Moses starts describing, at God's direction, the blessing that comes with being obedient. Blessed shall you be in the city. So if you happen to live in a city, things will go well for you. Blessed you shall be in the field. Now, when we read the word field, I think in our Western modern culture, we think of an agricultural field. I'm guessing that the terminology was actually a little bit more generic than that, more of the idea of rule. So city versus country. We got city people, we got country people. Well, Moses says to the Israelis, doesn't matter whether you're city people or country people, if you do what God tells you to do, you're going to be blessed. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, meaning your kids, your grandkids, and the fruit of your ground, your agricultural products, and the fruit of your cattle, not just simply cows, but all livestock, and the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. So basically, everything you do is going to be blessed. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. The basket is what you gather your produce in, and your kneading bowl is what you use to make your bread in. Blessed shall you be when you come in. That is, when you're done for the day, you come into your house, so you'll be blessed then. And blessed shall you be when you go out, you know, when you get up in the morning and you head out to do your stuff. So coming and going, we say, doesn't matter. If the Israelis will just be a people of the covenant, if they will do things at the directive of He who is, then things will go well. A little bit more, verse 7. He who is will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come at you or against you one way, and then they will flee before you seven ways. So if you get into a squabble, a spat with a neighbor later, and they attack you, don't worry about it. If you are living in covenant relationship with God, if you're doing things His way, they'll come at you from one direction, unified. But you will be protected by me in that they'll end up running away seven different directions. They'll be routed. They will be broken as a military entity. Verse 8, He who is will command the blessings on you in your barns, that is, places that you store all your stuff, and in all that you undertake, so everything you do. And He will bless you in the land that He who is your God is giving you. So you're in the promised land now, or they will be soon, if they just do what God tells them to do, the way God tells them to do it, when God tells them to do it, everything will be grand. Verse 9, He who is will establish you as a people holy to Himself. Remember, holy has the idea of set aside for a specific purpose. So they will be the special people of God. As He's sworn to you, that was the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the descendants up to this point. If you keep the commandments of He who is your God and walk in His ways. So we cannot stress enough how this is conditional upon obedience. The walking part is a euphemism for lifestyle. So if you will just live God's lifestyle, this is what will happen. Verse 10, all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of He who is, and they shall be afraid of you. So they will be scared to do anything against you. That's related to the Abrahamic blessing that God made. Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So if they're living in that blessing, if they're living under obedience to God's word and His covenant, then people who might want to do the Israelis harm will be scared to death to take any action against them, because they will know that God will respond against them. Verse 11, and He who is will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your ground, within the land that He who is swore to your fathers to give you. So they will have a very good upward curve of growth in every aspect of their lives. He who is will open to you His good treasury, the heavens. And that's an interesting euphemism for the heavens. It's the treasury where God keeps His rain and His snow and His sunshine and all of those sorts of things. He will give the rain to your land in its season. The Israeli land, the promised land, functions on the idea of a rainy season that starts somewhere in the early winter, late October, early November. It rains heavy to begin with, and then it kind of becomes moderate sorts of rain from time to time throughout the winter months. And then you get another big burst of rain during the late winter, say late February, early March, and then it kind of settles in to a nice, dry, sunny, warm, sometimes hot period. This is really good for the crops. And so the Israelis pay big attention to what's referred to as the early and the latter rains. And here is Moses, on behalf of God, promising that they will get their early and latter rains exactly when they need them, and to bless all the work of your hands. Now, this will have the impact of making the Israelis not need anything from anyone else, no other people groups. Instead, they will become wealthy enough, prosperous enough, that they can be the source of assistance to other people groups. So verse number 12 continues, you shall lend to many nations, people groups. You're not going to bother, or you're not going to borrow. And He who is shall make you the head, not the tail. And you shall only go up and not down. These are cultural indicators of good versus bad, right? And He who is will make you the head, not the tail. You shall go up and not down if you obey the commandments of He who is your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. Obedience is not an accident. It has to be planned. It has to be committed to. And so they are being reminded of that by their teacher. And if you do not turn aside from any of these words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. But, verse 15, you always have to understand what happens if you don't keep the covenant, don't meet the conditions. Here's what He warns them. And remember, Moses is not going to be around when he sees this happen. But he is a prophet of God, so he knows that they have to be warned. If you do it, you're going to get a whipping. You're going to get a spanking. And it ain't going to be pleasant. So here we go. If you do not obey the voice of He who is your God, or be careful to do all His commandments and His statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And then he just basically starts describing the negative of all the blessings that we've just read. So we're not going to spend much time on these. We're just going to read them. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed you shall be in the field or in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. So it's not going to be good. It's going to be very bad. Verse 20. He who is will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. Now, this is another form of the warning they've had before, and that is, God is going to use the Israelis to dislodge the sinful Canaanites, the Amalekites, out of the Promised Land, because they've had hundreds of years to repent of their sin, to repent of their bad activities, and they have not. And so God is going to expel them from the land and give the land to those that will live according to God's directions, the Israelis. But God has warned the Israelis repeatedly, if you engage in sinful things, I will kick you out of here just like I kicked the Canaanites and the Amorites out. You cannot have God's land, God's promised land, if you don't do things God's way. That's what they're learning here. And so this is part of that warning. Verse 21. He who is will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of. So you'll be out of here. He who is will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation, and fiery heat. A lot of that seems to be a description of diseases. And with drought, and with blight, and with mildew. Those are things that affect the crop. They shall pursue you until you perish. The heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. He who is will make the rain of your land powder. From heaven, dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. So the rain cycle will disappear. Droughts will set in. The ground will dry up and become hard. And the sky above will not have clouds in it. It'll just be this big bronze canopy over you, bringing heat and no moisture. And everything will become powder. It wouldn't be good. And we know that God sends some pretty serious droughts because of sin later in the story of the Old Testament. Verse 25, He who is will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. That's the reverse of how he described it would happen under the blessing. It'll be the Israelis that will be beaten and routed and run away from the battle. You shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. That is a scary story as to how bad things turned against them. Your dead body shall be food for all birds of the air and for the beasts of the field or the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. one of the things that happened after battles is scavenger animals moved in. And sometimes the winning party had such contempt and disregard for the losing party that they didn't even try to bury the bodies. They just let the scavenger animals have them. And so that's what's being predicted here. Verse 27, he who is will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors and scabs and itch of which you cannot be healed. Those things represent some of the things that happened during the 10 plagues against Egypt. God says, you will have the same sort of plagues happen to you if you don't keep the covenant. Verse 28, he who is will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind. You shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. Now that's a description of being in a bad way. You kind of lose your sight, you lose your mental acuity, and you don't know what's going on around you. That's not good. And so God warns them through Moses, if you go against my covenant, this is what you will have in your future. You shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to help you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. So you might get engaged, but somebody else will be having sex with her whenever your country gets overrun. You shall build a house, but you won't get to dwell in it because your country gets overrun and they take your house. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. Why? Because the country gets overrun because of the sin of the Israelis. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Your donkey shall be seized before your face, but you shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and there shall be no one to help you. Now, this is all very negative, but it is imperative that they hear this. Moses wants them to understand they've been warned. He's already told them earlier in this address, I know you're going to go ahead and sin and get yourself in trouble. Don't do it. Repent of it. So here is another passage, another section, where he's kind of painting the picture of what will happen when you blow God off. Verse 32, your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. So your kids are going to be basically kidnapped. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and all your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you are driven mad by the sights that your eyes see. He who is will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. It's going to be bad. He who is will bring you and your king whom you have set over you. So it is understood. Moses understands this and passes it on. I know at some point in the future you will have a king. And I also know you guys are going to blow God off and you're going to get yourself under the judgment of God. And this is what's going to happen at that terminal point in your story. And really, this describes ahead of time what happens under the Assyrians coming in and taking away the northern kingdom in 723 B.C., and then it'll be again with the southern kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem in 587 when the Babylonians come in. And then even though they get back under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah, it'll happen all over again in 70 AD, when the Romans come in and the judgment of God against Israel happens because of their rejection of the Messiah. So this gets repeated several different times in their history. It says, "He who is will bring you and your king whom you have set over you to a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known." So at this time in history, the Israelis know nothing about Assyrians. They know nothing about Babylonians. They know nothing about Romans. Those are all future aggressors. "And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone." Basically, you wanted to worship other gods and goddesses? Fine, go do it somewhere else. "You shall become a horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where he who is will lead you away. You shall carry much seed into the field and shall gather in little, for the locusts shall consume it." So you'll be in exile, and even there, because you're still not repenting for a while, you're not going to have good agricultural returns. "You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. There will be olive trees throughout your territory, but you shall not anoint yourselves with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall father sons and daughters, but they won't be yours. They shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, you shall be the tail." So everything is going to be reversed because of not keeping the covenant. Well, we've run out of time. Mark your place, and we will get back into the Word next time God gives us opportunity.